Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of ground up grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today. It's Monday, the 23rd of May. Our first reading comes from Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud to God our strength.
And the second reading from 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 10. As servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything.
Well, that reading from Paul in 2 Corinthians sounds a little bit like the Camino, the way of walking. That's what Paul was describing, his life of following Jesus, which was, of course, for him, a chance to sing aloud and to express his hope in God, who was his strength. So today, David, we're finishing the Camino in Santiago de Compostela. What can we expect?
Well, this is my fourth time, and each time that you see the distant cathedral, it's always a very emotional time. We will be coming in on a new route for me. The main route, the French Way, has hundreds of people finishing there. We're coming in on the second most popular, so we won't be alone, but I suspect there'll be fewer people. And it's very emotional for most people. And then when we actually walk into the cathedral itself, is also a very emotional time. You know, or for some people, it's a disappointment or letdown. I think it's such an individual reaction, why a person's walking, what one has learned or what one has given up or what blessings one has received. So it'll be curious to see actually how we react. But my response is always one of just extraordinary joy, and I expect that'll be the case tomorrow.
One of the things that happened to us a couple days ago, we stayed overnight in a monastery, and we met a number of people. The monastic experience actually is phenomenal if you're ever on one of these Camino walks. Because you eat together, you're all kind of hanging out together, you're sharing, we all went to worship together. And during this worship service, one of the women who was praying started to break down a little bit, and David put his arm on her to encourage her. And then you told her, this is Miriam, you told her later, that was one of the most powerful experiences for you.
Well, you know, it was. She's walking by herself, and who knows what it is she's been carrying along and why she's on the Camino. I have been to a number of these masses where they end with a pilgrim blessing, and I will say the Franciscan monk friar did the best job I'd seen, because there are about 12 or 13 of us, and he found out the various countries, and there's a certain Franciscan prayer that they had in the various languages. So the biggest language group were the Germans. So five or six read it in German. And then there were three English speakers, the two of us plus a woman from London. But then they also had the prayer in Ukrainian and in Czech. Now, the Czech woman did not speak any other language. So now, Americans only speak one language, but English gets you a long ways. So she probably talked to nobody, you know, for however long she was walking. Yet here she was being able to pray this prayer in her language. So when it came to the Spanish speaker, she did start crying. And the priest very lovingly ties back really to our 2 Corinthians verse that we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And he said, yes, you're crying now, and your tears are real, and of course that's part of whatever she has, but do know that those tears will turn to joy. And I do think that is a wonderful promise to all of us, that the sorrows we're carrying. I have a father I just talked to who's going through chemo. He's 89 years old. Yet my mother a friend took her to church today, and she got a bouquet of flowers because this week they're celebrating 70 years of marriage. So we have sorrows, and yet we will always be brought back to rejoicing. And that's what the friar last night promised to the Spanish woman.
And those men are poor. They have a vow of poverty, and they have nothing, and yet they make many rich. They enrich the lives of the people who come there to worship, to receive a blessing. Our hostess, Ola, she enriched us in so many great ways. And the nice thing about being involved in a place where you're enriched by the host or hostess is you are inclined to hand it on. I was praying with the people in our Bible study yesterday from long distance via Zoom, and I just said, every one of you has been on a Camino of some kind, and there are other people who have walked or are walking on a Camino, and they need you to be their host or hostess, their hospitalero. Talked about that last Friday, but that's really what we are discovering over and over again, how people need someone to love them. To love them in a way that they know they're being loved because they can share. Now, David, when you talked to Miriam yesterday when she continued on her way, you said you're a father of three daughters. So you know something of what that's like to be a daughter walking alone on this Camino.
Well, yeah, and I put my hand on her shoulder, which in America is a risky move, right? Because of all the potential. But there is something, there's a certain freedom that Johan and I have. I'm 67. I won't divulge Johan's age, but it's about 7 years more than mine. And I think we both enjoy the fatherly role. And in a way, it gives us a certain freedom, you know? And now, again, I mean, I went to the toilet this morning, and there was a woman in there brushing her teeth. I mean, you know, there's not much privacy. And I think a lot of Americans who grew up with a sense of space would probably find that hard, you know, to jump in the shower with a man shaving there.
Well, there were doors, so there were something hidden.
Yeah, there's doors. They're not soundproof, though. But, you know, we can all choose in life how many boundaries to put around us.
Right.
And obviously there's safety measures. And we joked, I wanted to do the special walk today up the hill where tradition teaches Santiago arrived to evangelize. And most pilgrims know they're walking to what's legend says or tradition says is his burial place, but not all.
That's in Santiago, the big church.
But not all are aware that before he was beheaded in Jerusalem, he came and evangelized in Spain, and that's what they teach. So he walked up this steep, a steep hill, and there's a place where he hid in the rocks, and that's become a point for the pilgrims. And the sad thing for me is that walk up the hill, which celebrates the living St. James, was all overgrown. That was probably for 1,000 years an important site, but the modern pilgrim is unaware of it. And so, as dedicated as we are, I really didn't want to carry my backpack up that hill, right? And so this young woman that we just had met the night before, her timing was she needed some quiet time to sit in a cafe and have a glass of coffee or wine or something. And she offered
orange juice.
And she offered to watch our backpacks. But I joked, I said, if we met you in the Barcelona train station, one, we would not just say, here's our backpacks, and two, you wouldn't really offer to know what's in the backpacks to take it. So I think this takes us back to putting ourselves in places where we can be transparent with a variety of people, and there is a trust level, but then there's a vulnerability level.
You know, one of the other things, though, about that, David, is that she showed up right in front of the church. We hadn't counted on her. That wasn't our plan to meet her there. She was just there. Well, who's in charge of our Caminos? Follow me. Jesus is leading the way, and we are servants of God, and he finds a way, and he led that young woman back to us in a wonderful way, and she She had her orange juice, and we hurried up so that I could preach the shortest sermon of my life for David.
Well, yeah, this. I mean, there's so much in the ritual, but going up this, up the, they had the Stations of the Cross, going up this overgrown path, but then there's a pool of water there, a spring, and tradition says that St. James hit the rock and it came out, sort of like Moses, I guess, but. And that became a place, again, the pilgrims have been walking for months and they're filthy, so there's a practical benefit. But they have them bathe there, but also there has very rich spiritual meaning. It's baptism, it's washing away, and the tank was there. There were some ducks there today, and the pilgrim would proceed forward, and then there is a spot. They have a little kind of, I don't know what you call it, a pedestal, not really a pedestal, an extension from the rock there. And I said, Johan, how about a sermon, you know? And of course, he's always prepared to give one. we did walk together with our wives and other friends from Assisi in Italy to Rome. And we went to a place where Peter did preach, and Johan had a chance to give us some words there. So it was sort of nice to focus not just on going to the tomb of the apostle tomorrow, but rather where tradition says he preached.
Right. You know, one of the things when I went on this Camino, I was given a word from the Lord to listen. And one of the things that Miriam helped me understand as I was talking to her last night after the service, I asked her, so what makes the Camino important? She says, we are free from our need to judge. And I was stunned at that thought. But what she was helping me grasp is that when people are walking and they are entering into these unusual sleeping arrangements, eating arrangements with people from all over the world, there is something you have to surrender. And that is your ability to judge others based on what kind of car they're driving, what kind of clothes they're wearing, what kind of shape they're in, or anything like that, because we're all pretty much of a similar kind. And there is some freedom there from the need to live out of judgment. Then the second thing that this young man, Patrick, expressed to me yesterday, a great kid, 18-year-old, from Sud Tirol in northern Italy. He comes from a town in the mountains there that I've visited once in my life. And he was so transparent, and the willingness to be honest about himself as he was walking alone now for a few days, separated from his walking partner. And he said, I even started crying. I mean, here is an 18-year-old kid talking to an old guy like me, and this woman, he's not even trying to impress either of us. He's just telling the truth. Honesty. There's something about that that sets people free. And that's what makes it possible for us to say, we are making many rich. We have nothing, but we own the world. That's what that verse translates into different ways. So David and I, as we finish this Camino today, we can say, wherever we go, on this earth, we are servants of God. We've commended ourselves in every way. We've been sorrowful, but we've also been rejoicing. We are poor, but we make many rich. We have nothing. And then penniless, we own the world.
Shall I read the
Why don't you read the prayer?
Oh God, you are our strength and our abiding hope. Today we gather to praise your saving power. We regret that we often look to external circumstances for comfort instead of clinging to your promises. Forgive us so that we may be free from trusting in our circumstances and may live out of your fullness alone. Amen.
That's a prayer for the Camino. We also pray, Lord, for the people of Ukraine who are fighting even this day for the freedom from oppression. Give them your strength, Lord. Your abiding hope. Help them to gather in praise of you in the midst of their adversity, to sing aloud to you who are their strength in their hardship. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to use the hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, as our closing Camino hymn. We're going to sing the first and third verse.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear.
Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am.